What was it like going over to London, knowing you were competing in the Olympic Games?
Well, I think London was a wonderful host city. Everyone was really excited to have us, and it was pretty well organized from what I could tell. It was just an incredible experience overall, definitely unique.
Now, tell us about where you stayed, what the Olympic Village is like, and the interaction between the different athletes.
Well, I think it was a lot like a college campus. Yeah, everything was very close together. Everybody was new but had sort of a purpose and excited to be there. So it was a really great environment to train in.
Now, are you sort of separated off by the sport you're in or the country you're in? How does that work?
The apartments are organized by countries, but, you know, it's not that big of a space. So you see people from different countries. And because I was the only female representative, I was actually rooming with all people from different sports. So I was with two divers and a field hockey player.
Interesting. So really a communal atmosphere. And mm-hmm. Do you eat together in a dining hall or something like that?
Yes, the dining hall was huge. I forget what the statistic was, but it was big enough to hold hundreds of double-decker buses.
So do you get to interact with other Olympic athletes? Are the big names like Michael Phelps and Ryan Lochte, are they eating and staying alongside you? I mean, do you get to hang out?
I mean, I didn't see any of the swimmers, but I did see a lot of the gymnasts around, and there were a lot of high-profile athletes there. It was very cool to see everyone participating equally.
You're all sort of at the same level
right. When
you're in there.
Exactly.
So oftentimes the Olympic Village has sort of a reputation as being a party atmosphere. You described it as a college campus. Did you find that to be the case?
Wild and crazy is a little bit much, but sometimes there were teams that were sort of out celebrating. But I think everyone tried to keep it at a somewhat manageable level since people were still competing in the middle of the games when I left. So.
And tell us about your last night in the Village.
Well, I came home from the Team USA house, and I came back and I saw the Colombian team. I'm not sure what team they were within Colombia, but they were just out celebrating and dancing. And so it was kind of cool to see their victory celebration, I guess.
And I guess different celebrations at different nights, depending on who was bringing home the gold.
Right. And, you know, each team and individual, they, you know, compete on one or two days. So, you know, you could be done after the first day of competition in there the whole time.
And you're allowed to stay until the closing ceremonies.
That's right.
What about the city outside of the Olympics? Did you experience a lot of gridlock? Did you get a chance to see some of the tourist sites?
Yes, we spent a lot of time in the UK leading up to the games training, so we saw quite a bit. You know, we've seen most of the big sites, you know, Big Ben, Parliament, Trafalgar Square, things like that. My family and I also got to see Spamalot and Rock of Ages. We loved it.
Wow. So you went over how long before the games actually began?
We got there on the opening day of the Olympic Village, which was the 16th of July.
Okay. Tell me about, were you in the opening ceremonies?
Yes, I was.
Tell me about what that's like, how early you had to get there to the staging area, and what it's like to walk into that giant stadium.
Yeah, it was definitely a process. We walked you know, a little under a mile, I think, from the village to the stadium. And it took a long time, but it really didn't feel that long because everybody was really excited to be there. There were a lot of American supporters, so we were just really, you know, excited to be there. They had to kind of slow us down sometimes. I think we were urging forward a bit.
And what happens after the torch is lit and you're all standing in the stadium and the TV cameras turn off? How do you disperse from something like that?
Well, it's really not a formal dispersion at all. Everybody just kind of goes. You know, I think everybody's kind of geared up for competition at that point. The spectacle is kind of temporarily on hold. So.
Speaking of competition, tell us what it was like. Did it feel different knowing you were in the Olympics? Did you feel comfortable on the course there?
You know, it was definitely the biggest crowd we've ever had, and that was great to see, all the support. They did a really good job of managing the noise level from the stands. You know, I didn't think that was distracting or anything. But it was awesome. You know, just the whole experience racing was great.
Yeah, and tell us about your performance there.
I could have done better, honestly. I had some mistakes in the qualification round that kept me from moving to the semifinal, but the preparation I felt was good. The training was good. It was just sometimes when you're working with moving medium, you got to be on your toes, and I missed some things there. So
this was your first Olympics. Are you planning for 2016 now in Rio?
Yes, I'll definitely pursue it. You know, it's one thing to pursue it and one thing to get it, but since I've gotten it this year, it's definitely possible to get it again.
You want to go back?
I do, absolutely.
What is the experience that most stands out to you from everything about the Olympic experience?
I think I just understand why people dedicate so much time and energy to the pursuit of the Olympic Games. You know, I'm still a fairly young athlete, and you know, going to the Olympics is what the older athletes are doing and, you know, trying to do. And so I thought, okay, cool, let's do that. But now that I've experienced it, it really is, you know, a very special event where everybody's priority is, you know, the celebration of sport. You know, intense but friendly competition, and that's great.
Caroline Queen, an Olympic kayaker, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.